We'll bow together in prayer and seek the Lord's face. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee today and we thank Thee for the Word of God. We praise Thee that it lives and it abides and endures forever. That many things will change and all will be removed. In fact, our Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so we thank Thee, Lord, that we are dealing with something that is permanent. People pick up the newspaper today and they think that the news that they're reading about is news that will maybe change a nation's destiny for quite some time, news that has quite an impact upon their lives today, but it may well be news that will have little or no impact in a week's time, a month's time, and will be well and truly forgotten in a year's time. And so we thank Thee for the fact that the Word of God is so relevant, so bitingly relevant, and so wonderfully up to date. And Father, we pray that again as we turn to it this day, that Thy hand will be upon us, that Thou will breathe with the power of Thy Holy Spirit upon all of our hearts. And if there be one here who is unconverted, Lord, we pray that this will be the day when the good news of the gospel of Thy grace will reach to them, will arrest them, and will bring them savingly to Christ. We ask in Thy name and for Thy glory's sake. Amen. No one will argue that Brexit was in the news last week. And of course, that has been the case for some considerable and wearying time now. Drop the term Brexit into the Google search engine, and within half a second, it will generate half a trillion results. There is that much talk about it. I confine myself to a few recent headlines that I found on the Reuters news agency. Popcorn to hand, EU watches Brexit show but frets for own future. Another one, we will miss you. Germany pleads with the British to stay in EU. Another one, UK is likely to delay Brexit and a referendum, a second one, is possible, Farage says. Another quite interesting one, but a total non-runner, of course, May wants Irish treaty to break Brexit impasse. One that I find rather amusing, wasn't on Reuters, so we're moving out of that agency for this one, was this. Radio caller, so tired of Brexit, he falls asleep during phone-in. He'd actually dialed up the programme, wanted to give his tuppenny worth into the programme, but they held him on the line for 35 minutes, and then snoring came over the line that he was manning. He had fallen asleep. Well, I think that's pretty much where all of us are by this stage. So we're stopping there on this kind of material because I think we're all tired and bored of Brexit, but it still seems we can't stop reading or hearing about it. It's the number one news item for sure. If you or I had been in Palestine about 2,000 years ago, we would have found then the news medium to have been buzzing with reports about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, when he was on earth, was always in the news. The first announcement about him was posted on earth by that choir of angels who appeared at the time of his birth in Bethlehem. We have read their words today. They said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings." The word is news. Good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. At the other end of our Lord's earthly life, government agencies, they were bribing people then to spin the news, to falsify it, to fabricate the news item. In other words, to deny that our Lord Jesus Christ had actually risen from the dead. And we've heard a lot over recent years about fake news, and that's exactly what they were trying to generate back then. But his departure from that borrowed tomb could not be hidden. And Christ appeared both in Judea and up in Galilee to hundreds of witnesses to prove that he had actually risen from the dead. What news that was! And during all of those crowded years of ministry in between, something sensational was always happening wherever Jesus was. And we find people running away from events and running away from scenes, and they were broadcasting the news to every part of the country. For example, in Mark 1 and 45, here's the action of a man who had been healed by Jesus. He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Matthew 9:31, of others who spread abroad his fame in all that country. And then in Mark 1 and verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. But to come closer to home and somewhat closer in time, if you or I had been in this city of Belfast or any town in the country back in the year 1859, known as the Year of Grace, the time of the Ulster Awakening, the Ulster Revival, we would have found back then Jesus in the news. I have an excerpt, part of a letter that was published in the Belfast Newsletter back in that year, 1859, that said, "We ourselves have seen troops of mill girls walking around the roads singing hymns and psalms." One of the hymns those mill girls were singing was a hymn that we sang this morning, "What's the News?" "The Lord has pardoned all my sin, that's the news. I feel the witness nigh within, that's the news. And since he took my guilt away and taught me how to watch and pray, I'm happy now from day to day, that's the news." And during that revival, up to 100,000 souls were singing this song from personal heart experience. They had received life through Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus was certainly in the news back then. And our Lord is still in the news today. You see, the everlasting Christ is no mere moldering memory that's encased with dust and relevant to nobody. Jesus Christ is alive. He's the most powerful personality in all the world, a risen, living, breathing person of immeasurable power. And because he lives, that means that the gospel that tells of him isn't just an old library record of his acts in the historic past, although it does tell us what he did, but it is also, because he's living, it's the soul-stirring announcement of what he can do and what he is doing at present, of what he can do for you and for me right now. The gospel is good news. But why is the gospel good news? Well, it's good news because of its content. Good news because of its content. Dr. John Bailey, an old preacher, tells a story about how a little girl, and she was used to listen in to the radio day after day. She'd gone to church for the very first time, and she came home and she reported to her family that she liked the music better than the news. Obviously, she preferred the singing to the sermon. What she said about the sermon might have been fair enough, But she was certainly clued in on one level when she talked about the gospel message that day as being news. Like the music, better than the news. But news is exactly what it is. Fresh, exciting, heartwarming news. For one thing, it is Christ's good news about God. Jesus himself said in John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he hath declared him." Man has always had and still has today his own notions and ideas and opinions about God. Much of it airy-fairy nonsense, not Bible-based at all. But some think of him as a God of anger, a God of wrath, a God of fury, a God who tracks you down, and nothing much more than that. You know, this kind of oppressive, savage dictator. Others view him as that kind of mysterious being that you never really get to know, who plays some unspecified, unidentified part in this world today, and they call him the man above. And when you hear that description, you know there's someone talking who does not have a personal interest in God at all. But the God whom Jesus Christ revealed was neither a terrifying monster nor a vague abstraction, but a kind and a loving Father who had found a way to be gracious to us sinners. Your Father also is merciful, was our Lord's message in Luke 6 and the verse 36. And if we're going to see that mercy at its high point, then we come to Calvary. And we see the Father sending the Son to die in our place. There, justice is executed, as it must be, upon sin. But because the justice is executed, mercy can be exercised and is magnified. And so we sing, mercy there was great. And grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now, isn't that good news? The gospel brings before us a God who is full of mercy and love and justice and truth, who set his great love upon us, who, to satisfy all the cries that justice was making, the demands that it was filing, punishment upon punishment for our many sins, it sends his Son to be our substitute. He takes the full load of our punishment that is due to our sin so that God can become our Savior. And the good news of the gospel is also this: he keeps everyone whom Jesus saves for all eternity. The gospel is Christ's good news about God. It's also Christ's good news about sin. Think about it. All of our news channels today are just churning out incessantly bad news after bad news about sin. All the terrible things going on in the world. Terrorist attack last week in Nairobi in Kenya. 21 people dead, including one man who had survived in America, New York, the 9/11 terrorist attack. Goes out and he's head of a business enterprise in Kenya, and he was caught up in that terrorist attack last week. We have ISIS, just after Trump was saying we're pulling the soldiers out of Syria, and they bomb up in northern Syria, killing 4 American personnel. And of course, we have that bomb, that's last night, at the Londonderry courthouse. And we know exactly why that was done. But if they could do a news report today and fine-tune it so that it wasn't world events we're talking about, but it was a news report on our hearts measuring our hearts by God's perfect standard, His moral law, His Ten Commandments, they would be telling the world that we break the law, that we sin in thought, in word, and in deed on a daily basis. We are sinners because, first and foremost, we do not love the Lord our God with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our soul as God demands. And we've added many other sins to that cardinal sin. And in case we start protesting on the inside and begin to say, I haven't done all of this. There's far worse out there than I am. I do the best I can. I imagine that all the good things that I have done, surely they will tip the balance in my favor at the end of the day. The truth is, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. It only takes one sin to damn us in hell, and we've traveled far further than that. The only way sin can be dealt with is by faith in Christ and genuine repentance over that sin. But the gospel is God's good news about sin. Heard an interesting story about the great Scottish minister, Rabbi Duncan. They called him that because of his knowledge of the Hebrew. Somebody met him one day, and he's striding along Prince's Street in Edinburgh, and his head is held high, and his legs are stepping out as he's striding there, and it seems as if he's marching along in a kind of a parade, one-man parade, as if music was playing in his head. Dear me, Dr. Duncan, somebody said to him, you must have had great news today. News, said the preacher. News. Wonderful news, the best of all news, the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin. 1 John 1:7, and that is definitely the best news of all, the news that the living Christ can still bring that life-changing power of His gospel to every person who calls upon His name. That hymn sung by the Mill Girls 1859 and by many others since contains this verse. The Lamb was slain on Calvary. That's the news. To set a world of sinners free, that's the news. For us He bowed a sacred head. For us His precious blood was shed. And now He's risen from the dead. That's the news. But the gospel isn't only Christ's good news regarding God. He is merciful. Regarding sin, it can be taken away. It's also Christ's good news about eternity. I read in 2 Timothy 1:10 these words, Christ hath brought life and immortality, eternal life, unending life to light through the gospel. And what Paul means there is simply this. God's salvation introduces us to new life and real life down here, and it guarantees, as our brother Elliot has discovered and always believed from the day of his salvation, guarantees everlasting life hereafter. Eternal, immortal life cannot be found anywhere outside of Jesus Christ. As he traveled by train to a preaching engagement, a minister sat down in the carriage, and he's in the middle of people, and they're all engrossed in reading their newspapers, the news of the world. Before long, he brought out his Bible, and he began to read. And that attracted attention. And you know the way you're sitting there and you're conscious, somebody's looking at me. And then you're conscious, there's more than one somebody looking at me. Everybody's looking at me. And they were. What's he doing? Reading there the Word of God. It attracted attention. And he set the book down and he quietly surveyed the fellow travelers. And then he said, ladies and gentlemen, I see you're all keenly interested in the news of the world, and no doubt you find it most engaging, but I have something better still. And he picked up the Bible again, and he said, here in this book, I have far more than you have in your paper. You have the news of the world, but I have the news of the world to come." He was right, because within the covers of this book, the Word of God, we have the one and only trustworthy source of truth about the future life. In its pages, the only way to heaven is revealed. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The gospel, it's good news about Jesus Christ because of its content. And I pray that you will hear it and also receive it today. There are other reasons why the gospel is styled here as good news. Good news because of its content, but good news because of its circumference, its reach, the circumference of this gospel, the scope, the appeal of this good news is as wide as Revelation 21 and 17, the whosoever will, and it's as long as Christian history. In the day when telephone boxes were a new invention, well past their sell-by date now, of course, a poet went into one of those, and he picked up the receiver. As he did, there was a bolt of inspiration came his way, and he later sat down, and he penned these lines. "A million hearts here wait our call, all open to our distant speed. I wish that I could ring them all and have some welcome news for each." Well, if BT had heard him say that, they'd have been signing him up to a long-term contract. Or Talk would have been competing, or Three, or Orange, or Vodafone, and all the rest of it would have been thinking, "He's a prime customer. Here's our international rates, because here's a man who wants to phone the world and tell them a piece of good news." That's how the gospel operates. It puts a person in living touch with the world. This book has a word for the world, for every nation under heaven. "Go ye," our Savior said, "into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark 16 and 15. I'm sure you paused on some occasion and thought, you know that word news? Divide up the letters there. Made up of the first letters of the four points of the compass: north, N; east, E; west, W; south, S; news. Going around the world and wherever this message of the grace of God goes, it saves and it heals and it helps and it touches men and women's lives. What a wonderful thing it is. I love that scripture in Luke 13:29, where Jesus says, and he's talking about what will happen at the end as a result of this word going around the world, "And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." What a day that will be, when from every point of the compass those saints will go marching in. Will you be one of them? Have you received in your heart this good news? Has it changed your life? The gospel's appeal is as wide as the world. The book assures me, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It includes me and you and countless millions of others too. It also has been as long as Christian history. Lady Diana's death is an historical fact now. It's no longer news. But round about 21 years ago, 31st of August 1997, it was the most sensational and tragic news anyone was considering that day. At that time, people will remember, it's one of those pivotal events they'll remember where they were when they heard it. This announcement, Diana's dead, came with the force of an electric shock to everybody who heard it, but today it lies as a cold fact at our feet. Everybody knows it's happened. Here's the extraordinary thing. The gospel that ultimately is a record of the death of Jesus. An event, it must be noted, about 100 times more removed from us in terms of time than the tragic passing of this famous princess. This gospel never grows stale or becomes irrelevant. It's always contemporary, bang up to date, and brilliantly relevant to the needs of modern man and woman. What gives it this continual freshness? It's because our Savior not only died but is alive again. And in every age, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive to bring his cross work before the eyes of men and women and apply it with power unto their hearts. It is the living Christ that makes the living gospel. The gospel is good news for man and good news forever, because Jesus rose and he reigns, and today he reaches out to you. And I pray your thought and confession will be, it reaches me. Wondrous grace, it reaches me. Good news, because of its content, its circumference. The gospel is good news because, thirdly, of its conversion. What a difference this good news makes in the life of a person who really believes it. There's no difference like this in all the world. This good news of the gospel of God's grace transformed, let me give an example, Saul of Tarsus from a ruthless persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ into a revivalist preacher of dramatic dimensions, and you can read about him, part of a story, beginning in Acts chapter 9. This good news of God's grace transformed John Bunyan from being a foul-mouthed person. The very prostitutes in Bedford, when they saw this man coming, they crossed the road so as to avoid his language. It was so vile, and it changed him, this gospel, into being the author of that timeless classic, The Pilgrim's Progress, that in tandem with the Bible has helped many a weary Christian on his or her journey home towards heaven. And it was said of Bunyan, and this shows the change, if nothing else, you prick this man anywhere, his blood is bibline. In other words, through the Pilgrim's Progress, Bible quotation after Bible quotation after Bible quotation is there. He had such an extensive knowledge of the Bible, his language had entirely changed by the intervention of the grace of God. This good news of God's grace transformed John Newton. Out there in the Atlantic, then sailing down the Loch Swilly, and eventually making his way to St. Columb's Cathedral in the city of Londonderry. It transformed Newton from the slave trade into an earnest evangelist whose only desire was to get out there again and again and deliver men and women from slavery to sin. Think what this good news could do for you. It would transform your life. It would impact your family. It would fill your soul with joy. And the truth is, just as the mill girls in 1859 sang it, the truth remains today and Jesus Christ can save you too. That's the news. Your sinful heart, it can renew. That's the news. This moment, if for sin you grieve, this moment, if you do believe, a ready pardon you'll receive. That's the news. You can have the joy, the forgiveness, the peace, the salvation, the security that comes alone through this good news by calling on Christ in faith and in repentance today. Jesus, see me at thy feet. Nothing but thy blood can save me. Thou alone my need can meet. Nothing but thy blood can save me. No, nothing do I bring. But by faith I'm clinging to thy cross. O Lamb of God, knowing nothing but thy blood can save me. This is good news. There is nothing like it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask of thee that thy word will reach into hearts and souls, those here today and those listening in online, and may it be that the good news of the gospel of thy grace will once again flood our land and sweep many, many souls into the kingdom of thy love and of thy grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.